your Bibles now and find a place in Deuteronomy 6:5. We'll look at that in just a moment as we talk about one of the first things in the message. But I want to speak to your heart today about five stays, S-T-A-Y-S, five stays for a great marriage. Five stays for a great marriage. This will be good information for those of you who are hoping. It'll be good information for those of you that are married and those of you that have been married a long time and maybe lost your mates. You would say amen because you know that these things work. Five stays for a great marriage. My wife and I have been married 48 years. We got married at a very early age. At least I did. And I noticed nobody mentioned her age today, and I'm sure she appreciates that, and I promise you I do. I would not tell you her age. I just say she's entering a new decade, all right? And you can guess all you want to. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. What's the alternative? And she's glad she's living. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Everything's fine. But loosen up, folks. You're too tight. But what was I saying before you looked at me that way? We've been married 48 years. This June will be 49 years. And then we're getting up close to that 50-year mark of marriage. And I can say that it has been an ever-deepening relationship. It was good from the outset, but it has gotten better over the years. And it's been an ever-deepening relationship. And I believe that's the way God would have it to be. And if we're going to have that, I think I want to mention at least five different stays that I think are important in order for you to have that relationship continue and to get deeper and deeper as far as a growing relationship. The first one is simply this: stay in love with Jesus. Deuteronomy 6:5, that one verse, would cover a multitude of challenges in marriages. And that verse in Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Folks, that's where it really starts. Loving God like you should love God. The love that you have for God is the foundation for building your marriage. It is the solid foundation. You see, your relationship with the Lord, and this is so important that you understand, your relationship with the Lord is tied to your relationship with your spouse, with your mate. They are tied together. You cannot separate those things. So you need to stay in love with the Lord. If you'll stay in love with the Lord, then your relationship with your spouse is going to be better. If you'll stay in love with the Lord, then you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, and you have that right relationship, then God will give you that love that you need to have, that love that God gives us for our mate, and God will also give you that patience that you need because both of you are imperfect. God will give that to you if you'll keep your eyes on Him. He is the foundation. What happens is there's a gradual sliding away. And the gradual sliding away first is our gradual sliding away from the Lord. That's where it starts. When people begin to slide away from the Lord, they backslide from the Lord, then they have problems in their marriage, and their heart oftentimes is turned not only from the Lord, but from that good relationship with their mate, with their spouse. Here's the problem. The problem so many times is simply this: we focus on our spouse to meet all of our needs, and our spouse can never meet all of our needs. There's only one, my dear friend, that can meet all of your needs, and that is Jesus Christ. That's God. That's the Lord. That's the Father who is in heaven. The greatest need is always met by the Lord, and we have to keep focused on Him. And when both partners are focused on the Lord, then they draw closer to each other as they draw close to the Lord. It's sort of like a pyramid. As the two of you go up and get closer to the Lord, you get closer to one another. And that's just the way it works. Close to God, close to one another in your marriage. Get your focus off of God, backslide, get away from God, and then your marriage will not be what God intends for it to be. A second thing that we need to consider is stay committed to having a great marriage. Stay committed to having a great marriage. And I believe, husbands, God says that you above all others need to initiate this particular thing. In Ephesians 5:25, you're probably familiar with it, but he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It begins, I believe, with the federal head of the home, the husband, who is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And because of that, he died for the church. He gave himself for the church and initiated that love relationship that only he could initiate. Now, I know a lot of couples that are committed to staying together. That's not enough. Oh, you should stay together, but that isn't enough. I know a lot of couples that are staying together that are miserable. I know a lot of marriages where the couples are staying together and they are not happy in their marriage. I think God wants you not only to be committed to staying together, but committed to building that marriage and strengthening that marriage all of the days of your life, to work at making it better all the time. Not just committed to saying, well, I'm going to stay with him, I don't like him. By the way, you're the nut that married him, amen, or vice versa. He said, well, I don't like her. Well, you chose her. You married her. You must have found some good in them when you chose them to marry. And so I don't think that's the problem, but you need to be committed to building that marriage, strengthening that home, strengthening that marriage the way God would have you to do it. Committed to building together. And then I believe that means you need to be investing in each other. Investing in each other. You remember while you were dating, you invested in each other. And you had no problem doing that. And you were very anxious and very glad as you were dating to invest in the woman you thought you were going to marry or the man you thought you were going to marry. You found time, you worked things out, you made things what they should be, and you got along probably very superbly before you got married. Marriage doesn't have to change that. You need to be committed to it. You need to invest in each other and invest in each other right now like you did then. Give your energy now like you did then. Give your energy and yourself to your mate like you did then. Couples, don't settle at any stage of your marriage for mediocrity. Just don't settle for mediocrity. Don't be a miserably married person. Make it what God wants it to be. And in order to do that, you have to stay committed to having a not just so-so marriage or a marriage we can sort of get by with, but a wonderful marriage, a great marriage. And that's what God wants in our homes, in our relationship. Thirdly, stay grateful for God's blessings. Stay grateful for God's blessings. If husbands and wives will stay grateful for the blessings God gives you, you can be happy together. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. For everything, give thanks. So many times we get so wrapped up in what we don't have that we don't appreciate what we do have. And God says, give thanks in all things. Be thankful. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. It's all right to make your supplications to God and ask Him, but be happy with what you have. Doesn't mean you can't improve. Doesn't mean God doesn't want you to try to improve. But don't be miserable if you don't have certain things. Be thankful for what God has given you. Thank God for the little house you have, if it's a little house. God doesn't look at big houses and big money and little houses and little money and make a difference in those people. God loves everybody. And God loves you just where you are, as you are, and He wants you to be happy. We were just as happy in many ways when we had that first little garage apartment when we first got married, a little bitty living room, newly married furniture. You know what that is. That's what everybody else gave us. And we had that, a couple of small bedrooms and a little bitty kitchen and all of those things, but we were happy in the Lord. And I can tell you that material things do not bring that happiness. Be thankful. Be thankful and grateful for God's blessings, and that'll bring a lot of happiness in your life. Satan is always there trying to point out that those blessings are not there or something. And he's always trying to point out the flaws in your spouse. You ever notice how he does that? He tries to make you focus on the bad things, or what we'd call the bad things, or the negative habits that might be in your spouse's life. And I might just say to you, no matter what comes down the road, if they're willing to ask you to forgive them, you ought to be willing to forgive them. Because that's part of the Lord's Prayer. And that's part of what God expects us to do. If He's forgiven us for what we've done, then we ought to be willing to forgive our mate for whatever they have done and move on. If God can forgive them, then we certainly ought to forgive them, and God does forgive. 1 John 1:9, these things are written unto you. Are you saying, if we confess our sins, rather, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the child of God to God. And if God can forgive, then my friend, you need to forgive. Truth is known from all of our lives. There's probably a lot that we would need forgiven for. The other people just don't know about it. But God forgives us for that. When we go to Him, forgive. But Satan tries to point out all the flaws in your spouse. But there are a lot of good things about your husband. There are a lot of good things about your wife that you need to look for. And when you find them, be thankful for them. And thank God for the good attributes that your mate has. You're not perfect, nor is your mate. But there are many good things about one another that we need to thank God for. And then fourthly, stay open and honest with one another. Communication. Talk. Men don't like to talk. Well, men, you ought to talk once in a while. Some man ought to say amen. Don't be cowardly. Say amen. Men ought to talk. That's not our nature to want to talk. We can say, yeah, let's do that, and that's it. We can go in and shopping and walk in, come out in 2 minutes, buy what we went after, and take off. But a good husband will go with his wife and shop with her. Amen. I do. And I enjoy it. Because I'm with her. And that should be the way it is. I know you got your hobbies, sitting in front of a television eating potato chips, getting fat as butterballs, so you don't want to go with her. Let me tell you something. Some of you husbands need the exercise. I know. I quit preaching and went to meddling. You're right. But stay open and honest with one another. And either spouse, may I simply say to you that either spouse ought to feel free, some of you will not like this, to check on the other spouse, to check their cell phone without saying, no, you can't check my cell phone. to check your internet history. Wives, if your husband won't let you look at the internet and his computer, you got a problem. You need to face him with it, vice versa. Could be the other way around. My wife, if she wants to go and look and she doesn't know how to do it, that's all right. But if she did, or if she gets somebody else to go do it, I have nothing there that I'm ashamed of in the history of that. And you parents, by the way, you know you can do that. Look at the young people getting tense. You can do that and find out what they're really up to. And I might add this as a side note, you ought to know what they're up to. This idea, well, that's my room, that's my space, that's my private room. If I'd have told my daddy that when I picked myself up, he would have said, now you better think that through again. We didn't have such things, but we did have other things we had to be careful about. But the internet history, our social networking sites. You fooling around with your old girlfriend, you found them on Facebook, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If your wife finds that, she ought to face you with it. But it shouldn't be any problem. You should be living for the Lord. That's what I'm saying. And you need to be able to stay honest with each other. And you say, well, I'm guarding these areas as private areas of my life, my checkbook. My wife can look at my checkbook anytime she wants to. And every once in a while, she lets me look at it. Actually, I know where it is. She knows where it is. And we don't hide anything from each other. This idea, this is my account, this is your account, I don't find that taught in the Bible. I think you're one in Jesus Christ. That ought to solve it and settle it. And if you don't trust him after your second marriage, you shouldn't have married him. You ought to trust each other. There ought to be trust, mutual trust. Stay open and honest with one another. And do that. If you're keeping things from your spouse, friend, that is going to equal at some point some kind of great damage. There ought to be accountability. I believe that. There should be accountability for both mates in every area. And accountability helps you fulfill what the Bible said in Romans 14:16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. So there should be accountability. And then stay regular in church attendance. I didn't just say stay attending church some. Stay regular in church attendance. Don't you know that the church is designed to help the families? That's part of the purpose and the reason for a church being in existence is so that we can help with families. Local churches are designed to strengthen families. And there's help you need, dear friend, that you're going to get in the local church. A lot of that you need to get on your own in your personal devotions, but there's a lot of it you're not going to get until you're in a Sunday school class, studying the Word of God through that, being in church, listening to preachers, listening to the Word of God as it is taught and as it is preached to you. And if you're not in church, you're going to miss a lot of help. How many times I've stood up here and thought, oh, I wish they had been here for this message. They needed this message, and they were not here. But God knew, of course, who would be there. But many times my heart as a pastor, as I scan the congregation, and I think about what I'm going to be preaching, that God has already led me to preach, and I think, and I look and I think, oh God, I wish they had been here for this. But if you'll be in church, it'll strengthen your family and it'll help you with your need, whatever that need may be. And you need to purpose in your heart to obey what God said in His Word, and that is in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much more as you see the return of Christ or that day approaching. If you'll be in church, it'll help your marriage. They have discovered that Christian people and people who attend church regularly, as they've done survey after survey, it shows that they have much more fulfilling marriages and fulfilling lives. And even in the areas of intimacy, it is better because they have a relationship with God, a relationship in church, coming to church. Above all things, you should stay together in the Lord and do what God would have you to do. It's sad to say, and I'm sad to say, that the divorce rate among Christians is as high as a divorce rate among non-Christians. Now, folks, that should not be the case. And I'm not picking on you if you've had that terrible experience. And God will help you, and you can go on and move on, and you have to. You have to do it. And don't get bitter, and don't hold grudges, and move on for the glory of God. But I'm saying to you that are going to be married, and you that are young couples that are married, and you have not gone through that, stay together. With God's help, you can do it. You can do it. And that's just the way it should be. And the principles are all here in this Word. And we just have to get back to the Word of God. It always amounts to getting back to God's Word. And when both of the people in the marriage will do what God tells them to do, then things will work out. And again, let me say to you, God does not want you to just endure your marriage. Don't say, well, yeah, I'm enduring it. We make a lot of jokes about those things, and probably sometimes we should not joke about it, maybe. But we shouldn't just endure the marriage. We should enjoy the marriage. We should have fulfillment in the marriage. And God desires it to be that way in our relationship. And God wants it for us. And we need to purpose in our heart to invest in our marriage for the glory of God. Take your marriage to new heights. Take your marriage to new horizons. Make your marriage better than it was last year, last month. Work at it. Don't take your mate for granted. It may not be long that they would not be here. You never know. Kiss your wife, kiss your husband goodbye. That may be the last time you see them when they walk out the door. You never know. Make your marriage a wonderful thing before God and get along and serve the Lord with all of your heart and soul. And there's nothing this side of heaven hardly like it if you'll do that. And you want to do that, why? Not just for your happiness, but for His glory. For His glory. Let your marriage be something that would make the unsaved people in the world say, I want what that couple has. I want what that family has, because they put God first. May I go back to the foundational thing? The foundation starts with loving God with all your heart. And here's a problem with some of you. You've never been saved. You've never experienced the new birth. And in case you don't know what that is, simply, you're a sinner. You're not going to go to heaven until you get born again. No Christian should marry a non-Christian. Amen? Don't be unequally yoked. And so what some of you need is to get saved, to trust Christ as your Savior. Not only so that you'll have a good marriage when you get married or make your marriage better, but because you don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to die without Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, don't you? I believe it's the Word of God. I believe everything it says. It has proven itself to be so. The Quran is filled with errors. Most religious books and materials and the other cults filled with contradictions and errors. Not this book. And I would challenge anybody to show me where this book has errors in it. It does not. But this book tells you you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. You can be saved. And once you trust Him as your Savior, then you have the foundation. Always you build the works on the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And you keep moving forward and upward and let Him control your life. And then you can be happy, not only in marriage, but in every phase, in every facet, in every part of your life, no matter what you're doing. You can be happy if He is number one. Love Him with all your heart and all of your might. This is the first commandment that really has power to it. And if you'll do it, God will bless you. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and we'll give an invitation. At our church, we invite you to step out from where you are, walk to the front, and we have people who will, in private, show you how to be saved and help you with a prayer to come to Christ, to commit your life to Christ, to ask Him to save you. And I would encourage you to do that today. Those of you, maybe they're husbands and wives that need to come. Maybe you're not having any kind of marriage problems, but you just want to come today and say, we just want to come and pray and thank God for our marriage, our home, and that we want to make our marriage even better than it is, to go onward and upward and make it even better. Perhaps some of you are having struggles in your marriage. These are at least five ways that you can help it. And I'd get started on them right away, and God will bless you. If you're here without Christ, step out and come and trust Him. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe God is leading you to join our church. Father, this is your invitation. It's your word. May the Spirit, your Holy Spirit, do His work and draw people to Christ. Speak to husbands and wives that they would make their marriages the maximum, what it ought to be, what it can be, for your glory. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray.